Good morning. How are you? Are you back for a while or just for a week?
Till July.
I understand you got a different teaching position? A little better one?
About the same.
A lateral move then, huh?
Yes.
Well, good. Good to have you with us this morning. Good. All right. I'll try to pray, all right? Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you that we have the right and authority to pray. And Lord, there are folks here today who have great needs. And Lord, we are so grateful we can bring these people before you. And in prayer, we can move the hand of God. And Lord, we do pray today for these special needs been mentioned. Think of Joyce and Robin as they have their scans this week. Lord, we pray that they would get good results, that the cancer would be gone from their bodies. Lord, we pray you just continue to work in their hearts and lives. We think of Curtis as he is in end stages now of Parkinson's. And Lord, just give him grace and minister to him. For Joan, as she has heart issues, we pray you'd give the doctors wisdom as they deal with her. Think of Bill Ketron, Lord, as he's gone through all these treatments and his cancer is there still, and he's lost a loved one this week. And Lord, I pray that you would just really minister in his life as he goes through this stem cell transplant and all the difficulties involved with that. Do pray for Tom's sister as she has surgery on her pancreas. Just guide and direct the surgeons. They might be able to remove the cancer, Lord. And think of Talia with surgery Tuesday. Pray that they'd be able to help her with her walking and the issues that she has. We think of Joe Rannigan, Lord, with this nerve disorder that's very difficult, very serious. Give the doctors wisdom in ministering to him. Pray for Julia and Teresa and Evan as they minister tonight at Cedar Creek. We pray you'd bless them and help them be a blessing there. And for Jamie's unspoken, Lord, you know the need. And we pray that you'd work in this special need now, we pray. And Lord, as we look at your word this morning, we ask you to speak to our hearts. Minister to us, we pray. Use this time to help us in this matter, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you have ever shot a machine gun? How many? Just see how many. Yeah, we've got a few wild people here. I just want to, probably mostly ex-military people, or if there is such a thing. But, you know, machine gun, I've shot some guns that were semi-automatic. But you just had to keep pulling the trigger. I guess with a machine gun, you just pull it and it just happens. And it just continues to spit bullets out and just shoot bullets out. It just continues until the ammunition runs out. And this is kind of how Paul ends the book of 1 Thessalonians. Just some rapid fire shots that are just short, pithy sayings that just bang, just hit you. Now I got you awake. That's good. I'll do that in about 5 more minutes and we'll keep you going. Last week we covered the first of those, and what was it? Rejoice evermore. Two words. I hope you memorized that last week. I know it was a challenge, but rejoice evermore. I've spoken to some of our class members this week who went through some trials, and they said, boy, I sure needed that because it was tough this week. Rejoice evermore. Today we come to the second one. And as we look at the second one this morning, it again is something that if you're a believer, let's just stop for here a second. How many of you are sure you're on your way to heaven, you're born again? This is another way to keep you awake. Good, if you don't put your hands up, I'm going to preach a salvation message, all right? All right, this message is for you, okay? If you just raised your hand, this message is for you. Another short little saying in verse 17. Here it is. Have you got 1 Thessalonians? If you haven't, you're going to miss it. Here it is. Three words tonight. We're moving up. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, we're going to discuss this here momentarily, but I want you just to stop for a moment before we get into the lesson and do a brief inventory of your life. I think all of us as believers would have to say, this is an area where I need work. I find it takes a great deal of self-discipline to pray as I should. Now, not necessarily when things are going bad. This week, we got a phone call from our daughter Sarah in Florida. They're in the middle of Bible school, and they were running wild. And on the way home, I think Thursday night, Lily, our granddaughter, had a seizure. This is her third one. She did have a high temperature, And we're hoping, again, it still continues to be these febrile seizures, but the doctor said, I think you probably need to see a pediatric neurologist. I didn't have a hard time praying about that. And when we have great needs, we don't struggle with prayer, do we? But what about just in the day-to-day living? It's a struggle. Now, here he tells us to pray without ceasing. So I want to give you two things this morning. Number one, prayer is commanded. Prayer, if you're taking notes, prayer is commanded, okay? And I'm going to give you three things under that. Number one, the priority of prayer. Now, we've got three little short statements here. We already saw verse 16. Next week, Lord willing, after Bible school, this would be a great one to teach. In everything, give thanks. But you notice that all three of these statements are followed by, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, if you're a Christian, one of your greatest desires should be to know the will of God and to have the ability to do the will of God. Now, Paul is telling us right here, I want you to know, Mark, here is the will of God for your life. This is it. By the way, we will never be successful as believers until we do what? Find the will of God and do it. Find the will of God and do it. So here Paul says, here it is. Okay? Here's the will of God for you. Now, to be honest with you, as a teacher, it's kind of exciting to teach passages like this because I know it applies to everybody. If you're a believer, this applies to you. So Paul is telling us, here is the will of God. You need to pray without ceasing. Now, we're looking here at the priority of prayer. I may not have mentioned that. This is letter A, the priority of prayer. And Paul says, this is for you. Now, I want you to hold your, well, you don't have to hold your place there. If you can't remember that passage, then we can't do a thing for you to help you, okay? Philippians chapter 4, another great passage. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. You may have this memorized also. Hello, Stacy. Good to see Stacy back there, too. And he says, be careful for nothing. Now, put that in English. You say it is in English. We'll put it in today's vernacular. Don't worry. Now, I know none of you need that. I sure do. Don't worry, but in everything, in how many things? In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Here is another command. He said, I command you, don't worry, but pray. Don't worry, but pray. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. And Paul says, writing to Timothy, I exhort, I encourage, I strongly admonish you, therefore, that first of all, what's the first thing we ought to do? Supplications, prayers, intercessions. Supplications are those specific requests when you have a need. I mentioned my daughter or my granddaughter. That's supplication, when there's a specific need, a specific prayer. Prayer is kind of the general term for approaching God, and then intercession is praying for other people. And he says, look, first of all, now let's be honest about this. When you have a problem or a need, what's the first thing we do most of the time? Scott? Try to fix it ourselves. You ever lost anything? Some of us have lost our mind, you know, that's really serious, okay? And what do? We look for it, and we look for it, we retrace our steps, we look for it. Finally, we can't find it, we've gone 2 days, we cannot find it, now what do? Well, first of all, we ask our wives, because wives know where everything is, and that's always a good thing. And if your wife doesn't know where it is, guys, you're in deep trouble, okay? And then you ask your kids, surely one of your kids took it, they know where it is, and you get through all those, and then finally you can't find it, so what do you do? Well, now I guess, yeah, go buy another one. Yeah, good. Be nice. I could use a loan from people like that. Finally, we get down and we do what? We finally pray. I have done that so many times in my life. And lo and behold, after you pray, well, looky there. Isn't that amazing? We pray. He said, hey, here's the priority of prayer. When should you do it? First, we can offer marital counseling back there too if you need some. First of all, there's the priority. Now, secondly, I want you to see the privilege of prayer. We're looking at God's command to pray. We've seen the priority. Secondly, the privilege. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. This is an amazing thought. It really is. It's an amazing verse. Hebrews 4, 16. Amazing. It's Hebrews 4, 16. The wind keeps blowing your pages. Now, he says, let us, again, who's us? You is us, okay? All right, that's great grammar, isn't it? He says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. What an amazing thought. He said, look, you are a sinful, wicked person. At least I am. If you're not, hey, hallelujah for you. And he said, you have the right and authority to come into the very presence of a thrice holy, sinless, perfect God. Now that's an amazing thought to me. This is our privilege, folks, to pray. In Psalm 65:2, a verse that Preacher Lashley used to quote often, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Wow, what a privilege. And look how he says to do it. Let us therefore come timidly. Let us come with fear and trepidation. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Wow, that's amazing. It's not really as true now as it used to be with Preacher Lashley. If I needed something or wanted something and I would go into his office, I'll just be honest with you, I don't know if I ever did it boldly. I think there was always a little bit of fear and trepidation. Now, we have the right as believers. Now think about this, folks. You have the right as a believer to come boldly into God's presence and ask him for grace and mercy in time of need. Wow, what a privilege. What a privilege. What a right. Now, if you needed $100,000 or they were going to take your house and you had a rich uncle that had told you years ago, look, if you ever, you know, he's a multimillionaire, and he said, look, if you ever have any financial needs, you just call me up. I'll send a cashier's check. We'll take care of any needs you have. And you're moving your furniture out of your house because they're going to take it away from you because you won't call him. What would people think of you? Well, that guy's an idiot. Now, the God of heaven, who has all resources, who knows all things, who can do anything, who has all power, says to you and to me, you can come boldly into my presence and get help. What a privilege we have. What a privilege we have. Jeremiah 33:3, just give you the first part of the verse. What does it say? Call unto me. Now, who's saying that? God is saying that. God is saying, you call me, and I will answer. God said, you call, I will answer. What a great... Now, why do we have this privilege? Well, you're in Hebrews chapter 4. Back up to verse 15. It says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Look, he said, the one we're praying to understands us because he took on himself human flesh. Jesus was tempted in the same way we're tempted. Now, that's hard to believe, but that's what the Bible says. He was tempted in the lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. You look at Matthew chapter 4, you study the temptation of Christ. Three temptations, and they cover every one of those areas. Same way we're tempted. And he says, because of that, in Hebrews 2:18, he's able to succor them, he's able to encourage, he's able to come alongside and help those that have great need. Now, if you have been, and I was talking to Joyce this week at the hospital, and I said, you know, Joyce, she was saying, you know, God is really moving in my heart as I go through this experience, how we need, what we need to do with the cancer ministry and how we need to change it and what needs to be done. You know why? She's experienced it. Now think about this. When she goes into somebody's room there at Holston Valley in the future, who's dying from cancer or is going through cancer treatments, and she comes into that room, she can say, look, man, I understand. I have been there. I have been there. And she truly does understand. Several of you have had mothers pass away recently, and several of you folks have. And 3 years ago, I could not say, Amelia, I understand, because I didn't. But I do now. So I've been there. We have a Heavenly Father. We have Jesus Christ who's interceding for us. And friends, He understands. He understands. He understands. He became a man so He could understand. He also became a man so He could pay for our sin and give us the right to go into the presence of God. The only reason we have a right to go into God's presence is because of the holiness of Christ, and He shed His blood to make us a way into God's presence. And there's a great picture of this that happened when Christ died. Can you think of what it is? The veil was rent. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He said it's a finish. And from top to bottom, that massive veil was rent in two. And the Word of God says, thus signifying that a way has been made into the Holy of Holies. Now think about that. Because of Jesus' death, because of His blood, you have the right to come into God's presence in prayer. Wow. What a privilege. What a right. And then thirdly, as we talk about the priority, the privilege, third thing is the power of prayer. I quoted half of Jeremiah 33:3. What's the second half? Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which you could imagine, which you could think of, right? No, which thou knowest not. God said, look, if you'll call, I'm going to do some things in your life that you will say, you'll just sit back and say, wow. Have you been there? When you had situations in your life and you thought, well, here's the best God could do. You know, here's what I really want. And God comes on the scene and just far surpasses that and does mighty things in our life. That's what He's saying. That's the power of prayer. In Matthew 7:7, another verse you know, ask and ye shall receive. Ask and it shall be given unto you. I have it right here. You think I could read it. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And then let me give you one more. James 5:16. Ready? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, or we could say woman. What does it do? It avails much. It avails much. Now, that moves me right into some illustrations of the power of prayer, because who is that passage about? Elijah. What did Elijah do? He prayed for it not to rain. Now think about that. Who controls the rain? God. By the way, that's why it doesn't do any good to complain to other people. They can't do anything about it, you know. Now think about this. Elijah prayed. He prayed, okay? He didn't get some guy to come in and do all kinds of dances, you know, one of those Indian guys that does cause it to rain. He prayed to God and said, okay, Lord, these people have been wicked. They deserve to be judged. Don't let it rain. And not only that, before that happened, he went into the king. Now, here's some confidence in prayer. And said, hey, buddy, I got news for you. It's not going to rain until I say so. Now, that's confidence in prayer. And what happened? Didn't rain. How long? 3.5 years. Now think about that. 3.5 years it didn't rain. You think prayer is powerful? Now, what are you thinking in your mind? Yeah, but that was Elijah. And what is the whole point of the passage? Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. He's just like us. He wasn't the super Christian. You know, he didn't open up his cloak and have a big S on his chest or anything. He was a Christian just like us. And he prayed and he moved the hand of God. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. In 3.5 years, he came back. He said, okay, boys, it's going to rain. And lo and behold, it came. But before that happened, here's another great example. Wouldn't you like to have been on Mount Carmel that day? And you got the 450 prophets of Baal. You know, they come walking in their big robes. They're just, you know, we are the prophets of Baal. I mean, we are somebody, you know. And then you got little Elijah over here, you know, eating whatever, all that nasty food that he ate, you know. And he said, okay, guys, we got these two bulls here, and we'll give you one, and I'll take one. I am such a nice guy. I'll let you go first. And you just pray to your God and just pray fire down from heaven, and that'll be great. Can you see those guys? They start out, you know, and they're praying, you know, they're kind of peaceful, but nothing's happening. So pretty soon it's getting a little louder, and nothing's happening. And Elijah's sitting over there in his easy chair, and he said, hey, guys, maybe your God's asleep. You know, a little more volume and a little more excitement maybe. And so now they're dancing around, they're cutting themselves, and they're screaming, they're going on and on. And they do this from morning until evening, nothing happens. So Elijah steps up. Isn't this great? He said, well, just to make it fair, I want you guys to take 12 barrels of water and pour it all over my sacrifice. We'll dig a trench around and catch all this water. Just, you know, just to make it fair. He prays a simple prayer of 30, 40 words. What happens? Whoosh! I mean, the fire comes down. The sacrifice is gone. The 12 stones they made the altar with, what happened? They're gone. It said it even licked up the dust. The dust is gone, and the water is gone. Wow. That's the power of prayer. Let me give you one other example. In Joshua chapter, well, two, I think I can do this. I'm on page 6. I've got 2 to go. I think we can make it. I'll be like pastor. Okay, I'm right here. Okay, I got too far to go. All right. All right. Joshua fighting 5 pagan kings, and they're just cleaning house. I mean, Joshua's army is just going to town. We got a problem, though. They didn't have night goggles in those days and, you know, night sights and all that stuff. They fought when it was, you know, in the daylight. They couldn't fight at night. And so he made a simple prayer. Now think about this. Lord, if you could just kind of help it be light a couple more hours, that'd be super. So we can finish the job. Now, what does that entail? I really don't know. I mean, does that stop the rotation or the revolution of the earth? Or, I mean, you know, I don't know how God did that. But now think about this, folks. One man prayed, and God said, okay, I'll give you a couple more hours of light. By the way, are any of your problems that big? Mine aren't. Joshua prayed, and God changed nature somehow. I don't understand that. I mean, it was miraculous, obviously. And there's another situation when Hezekiah was being attacked by the Assyrians. They were all about Jerusalem. And Hezekiah's got big trouble. You know, we're going down. And they sent a letter saying, they sent a letter basically saying that to Hezekiah, we're really good and you're really not. And we're going to tear you apart and you're going down, buddy. And I love what he did. You know what he did? He took that letter. What did he do? Remember?
He spread it.
He went to the temple and he spread it out before the Lord. And he said, Lord, you see this? You see what these guys are saying? You know what God did? I love this story. That night he sent one angel. Just one. And the word of God says he killed 185,000 people. And I always love the passage because it says the next morning they woke up and they were all dead men. And I thought, well, they didn't wake up, they were dead men, but somebody did, but these guys didn't. Now think about that, folks. Oh, by the way, there's more to the story. A little while later, Isaiah came to Hezekiah and said, hey, buddy, it's time for you to go home. It's time to die. And so Isaiah goes to leave, and Hezekiah prays to the Lord and said, you know, Lord, I've been righteous. I've tried to do what's right. And God says to Isaiah, okay, go back in there and tell him. 15 more years. I'm going to give you 15 more years. Oh, and by the way, to prove it, I'm going to make the shadow on the sundial go back 10 degrees. Now, again, I don't know the physics of that, okay? But that's powerful. Folks, through prayer, we have the ability to move the hand of God. The God who created and controls the universe, you have that right and authority as a believer to come before God, a God who can somehow let the sun stay out longer for 2 more hours or 3 more hours, a God who somehow can make the shadow go backwards. A God who has one angel can take it 185,000. God commands us to pray. And then second main point, prayer is commanded. Secondly, prayer is to be continual. Prayer is to be continual. And if you think back to our passage, the verse says, let's say it together. Here we go. 3 words. Can you do this? I think you can. Ready? And pray. Let's try that again. Here we go. And pray. All right. What does that mean? Well, here's what it doesn't mean. It obviously doesn't mean going around all the time with your eyes closed praying. Okay? The Pharisees in the Lord's time, they did not believe if a woman walked by, you shouldn't look at her. So they would close their eyes. They got the nickname of the bruised and the bleeding. Well, now you can kind of understand that, can't you? You know, woman walks by, so you shut your eyes. And what happened? You know, you're going to run into something. Well, obviously, that's not what the Lord's talking about. And hallelujah, when you're driving, please don't do that. You know, don't close your eyes. Well, I got to pray. The Lord protect me. It's going to be okay. I've got to pray, you know. Obviously, that's not what it means. It means to be in a constant attitude of prayer. A constant attitude of prayer. Now, if we allow sin in our life, we're not in the attitude of prayer, are we? Because Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It's the attitude and the ability to pray at any time. When my wife told me, I think it was Thursday night, about Lily, I was so glad that I didn't have to say, okay, let me go confess some sins and get right with the Lord so I can pray about that. Now, I'll be honest, there are times in my life I probably had to do that or should have done that. But it's going through life and just being able to go through life and to be able at a moment's notice just to pray and talk to the Lord. That's what he's talking about. It says in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. By the way, which would you rather do? Why do we find ourselves fainting? Because we're not praying. Okay? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I want to give you one more. In fact, turn there. You're not far from it. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Another reason, by the way, I said early on, I love these kind of lessons because everybody needs it. I love it too because I need it. You know, I need it. And he says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, praying, what's the next word? Always with, what's the next word? All prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with, what's the next word? All perseverance and supplication for. A lot of all and always in there, aren't there? He said, look, folks, we need to be praying all the time. Now, again, I think that's talking about, in general, an attitude of prayer. You're going through the day, and Lord lays somebody in your heart, and you pray for them. You're going through the day, and you have a special need, and you pray. You just constantly think about prayer. You at night when you go to bed, you're praying. And you just kind of fall asleep as you're praying, and just, you know, it's just wonderful. It's just that sweet communion with the Lord. It's kind of like breathing. You've been doing that all day. And I bet, how many of you have been thinking about that? No one's been saying, okay, I got to breathe. Okay, exhale, inhale. No, it's just natural, isn't it? It's just what you do to live. And I think what Paul is saying is, it's just like that. You just, it's just natural, a part of your life. You're just praying. You're just praying. You're in the attitude of prayer. But I think also, not only that, but it is a scheduled time or a practice of prayer. A practice of prayer. In Psalm 55, 17, David said, "Evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry it aloud, and he shall hear my voice." And David was saying, look, I just pray all the time. I have set times of prayer. Do you have a set time of prayer? You say, oh, yeah, I do, before breakfast, before lunch, and before supper. Well, need a little more than that, okay? When is typically the best time to pray? In the morning. Why is that? Well, you're fresh. You're about to face a day with many challenges. I'll be honest with you. If I pray at night, it becomes very deep praying, and it lasts about all night usually, you know, because I'll go to sleep. Do you have a set time of prayer in the morning? You say, you know what, I'm going to get up a half hour early, and I'm just going to pray. Just going to spend time with the Lord. Now, if you don't, now, don't say, well, you know what? I need to pray. I'm going to get up at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'm going to spend 3 hours in prayer before I have my breakfast. Start with 15 minutes, you know. You don't build up to an hour. You don't just start, well, I'm going to pray an hour, you know. You ought to have a set time of prayer. You know, one thing that helps you with that is a prayer list. Now, we give you one here in Sunday school. You got one this morning, I hope, as you came in. And you've got 7 or 8 prayer requests in your group. You ought to pray for them. I know if your name ever gets on there, you'll hope people are praying for you. We ought to pray for them. We ought to have a set time of prayer. It's interesting to me, Daniel was a man who prayed 3 times a day, had a set habit of it. And by the way, when they said, look, buddy, if you keep doing that, you're going to die, what'd he do? He prayed, just like he always did. Now, I wish I could stand before you today and say, I have got this thing conquered. I mean, if you want an example of the world's greatest prayer life and the humblest person, here I am, you know. Now, this is something believers that we all need encouragement about. Now, I would encourage you in this matter, 2 things. Number one, are you living in such a way that you have, that you're able to pray at any time? At any time. Do you have that attitude of prayer and fellowship? I mean, I guess that's probably the word, is just fellowshipping, walking with the Lord. And as you're walking with the Lord, come up here a second. That's what happened. You sit in the front row. Now, Mike, come over here. We're walking. Thank you, sir. Please, thank you. We're walking together. Now, we may not be saying anything to each other, but we're just walking together. We're just fellowshipping together. Here we are. We're just together. And every once in a while, I say, hey, Mike, how you doing, man?
Doing well.
You know, I have a need. We're going to go back this way. I have a need in my life, and I just want to let you know about it. And I tell him about it, and then we just keep walking. And we're just walking. He's needing lots of exercise. I'm trying to help him. And we're just walking, and we're just walking. And then I'll say, hey, you know, I just wonder about this. I got to make this decision. What do you think? You know, if it was yours, what should I do? And then we continue to walk. And we're just walking. You did very well. Thank you. Very good. Isn't that a picture of what Paul's talking about? You're just walking with the Lord. And every once in a while you say, Lord, I've got this decision to make, and I just don't know what to do. What should I do? And then you keep walking, and you say, Lord, I just got this need in my life, and just I really need your help in this. And you just keep walking with the Lord. But then you have set times of prayer as a believer that you set aside just for prayer, just away from the world, away from all the junk and where it's quiet, and you just talk with the Lord. I end by quoting one of Preacher Lastly's songs, just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer you. God keeps his promise. His word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. Our thought today is pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Lord, we thank you for the right and privilege we have to pray. And Lord, like the disciples this morning, I say, Lord, teach us to pray. Help us to pray. Oh God, help us to bring our needs to you, to walk with you in sweet fellowship so that we can bring our needs to you when the time comes. Lord, help us to be people of prayer, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.